Reading from Canto 4, Chapter 14, Verse Number 5. The chapter is entitled The Story of King Vena. Evam Madhandha Utsiko.
Evam Madhandha Utsiko.
Nirankusha Ivadvipaha.
Nirankusha Ivadvipaha. He stopped all kinds of religious rituals.
What was committed by King Vena many years ago is at present being carried out by atheistic governments all over the world. The world situation is so tense that at any moment governments may issue declarations to stop religious rituals. Eventually, the world situation will become so degraded that it will be impossible for pious men to live on the planet. Therefore, sane people should execute Krishna consciousness very seriously so that they can go back home, back to Godhead, without having to further suffer the miserable conditions predominant in this universe.
King Anga was very gentle. He was such a saintly king. He
is very gentle and he had a high character. The ultimately Krishna consciousness, by doing Krishna consciousness everything, one has to develop a very high character. That's what the King Ganga had, a very high character, and he was a saintly personality. Raja Rishi, no? The Rajas, they were Rishis, they were not ordinary Rajas, Raja Rishi. So even in the Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam, imam Raja Rishiyo Viduru, they were not ordinary kings, they were Raja Rishis. So it is said here that he was a saintly personality and the lover of Brahminical culture. So these three things are very, very important. What is that? Protection of cows and maintaining the Brahminical culture and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three are the main essence of religious principles actually. As long as these three are maintained, then everything will be very, very good society. Everything will be perfect. So when these three things, what is that? Cow protection and Brahminical culture, because Krishna is called Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, because these things are very, very dear to the Lord. Like if you go to Vrindavan, there is a Goshala, beautiful big Goshala there. So Brahminical culture, maintaining the Brahminical culture is very important. These are the Vedic cultural points in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is mentioned that one has to have this Brahminical culture and a protection for the cows and then worship of the Supreme Lord. So these three things are maintained, then everything will be very, very auspicious. How is it that such a... my dear Brahmana, King Ganga was very gentle. He had a high character and was a saintly personality and a lover of Brahminical culture. Having all this very good qualities, how is it that such a great soul got a bad son like Vena, because of whom he became indifferent to his kingdom and left it? And then he continued his inquiry, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles desired to curse King Vena? So who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment. So, here also the sages, they are very, very conversant with religious principles. That is why they always think of the welfare of the people in general and they want to always work for the upliftment of the people in general. So, that is why then so much they are knowledgeable, like they are conversant with the religious principles, how come that they have cursed, gave Brahma Shapa, desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment? How was he cursed? Brahma Shapa was given to So usually the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is called Naranarayana. The king is called Naranarayana because he is coming in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to rule the kingdom so that everybody follows his footsteps. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Yatyada charati shrestas tatta deve tarojanaha sayatramanam kurute lokastadhanvartute. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that is how the king has to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And God appears in the human society as the king. So he is like representative. And the etiquette, and there is an etiquette that neither Brahmana nor Kshatriya should be insulted by the citizens. And even though king appears to be sinful, the citizen should not insult him. So these are the etiquettes actually. Even though the king is sinful, one should not insult. But in the case of King Vena, it appears that he was cursed by same Naradevatas. Those who are going to respect and honor the king, they are the people who are cursing the king. So then you can understand what sort of, what was the caliber of that king that made these great sages who were conversant with the religious principles, they cursed this king. So it was concluded that his sinful activities were so grievous. So it went to such an extent that even the great sages who were conversant with religious principles, they cursed the king by Brahma Shapa. They gave curse. So like even in the later part of the same chapter, it is said that the sages, because of the atrocious activities of King Vena, who followed all the irreligious things, even though they were very angry with him, they concealed their anger and then they tried to give good advice. But nevertheless, King Vena would not take it. Giving a good advice is like feeding a milk to a poisonous snake like that. So good advice did not work. So that's when they did. All of a sudden, because he was very not good king, they did not curse him immediately. They gave him a chance. They gave counsel to him even. They said that what you're doing is not right, you know. They were like stopping all the Brahmanical culture, all the yajnas, everything, which are very, very auspicious. Please give up this, you know, you should not be doing. But the king Vena could not. Because this impiety, you know, impiety within the heart, they have exhausted all these pious credits, then they cannot be in Gita also Krishna says that four kinds of people who begin to render devotional service unto him and four kinds of people who do not surrender. What is that? It is said that Chaturvidha bhajante mam janasu kritino arjuna artho jignasu arthati jnani cha bharatar sabha. Oh, best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. So if somebody is impious, they cannot render devotional service. So those who are impious, those who are pious, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. Who are they? The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for the knowledge of the absolute. And four kinds of namam duskrutino mudha prapadhyante naradhama. Duskrutis, they will never, when they have problem, they will never come. Namam duskrutino mudha prapadhyante naradhama. Maya parata jnana ashram bhavam asritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, they do not surrender. So that was the Vena was like completely, he was so there, the good advice of the great sages did not work. Even like there was no need of battlefield of Kurukshetra at all. Because all the Kauravas, they took away everything from the Pandavas. They were sent to exile during the gambling match. They cheated and they sent them to exile for 14 years. And after the finish of that, Pandavas, they came back. They asked, please give us another half. Actually, everything belongs to Pandavas only. But still they asked, can you please give us our half share of our whatever we are legitimate we have to get. Then they said, no, we cannot give you anything. Then said, okay, because the Pandavas were devotees, they were not very much, you know. They said, at least give us five villages, you know. Because we are also Kshatriyas, we have to rule. Give us at least one village per Pandava, five villages. They said, nothing doing. Even we cannot give you a place where the needle, you know, how much do we need a space to put the needle? Even that much space we are not there. Then they said, send Krishna as a peace messenger. Krishna, you should go and counsel them, tell them But then it didn't work at all. Why was that? Because of impiety, you know. They could not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this impiety that is within the heart, that is everything. So the King Vena, even in the 7th canto, the example is given. The 7th canto begins like this. There's a question asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami whether the Lord is partial or impartial. It seems that it looks like he's partial because he's taking the side of demigods and killing the demons. A person who is equal to to everyone, it should not be partial. So this is my doubt, whether he is partial or impartial, please verify my doubt. Then the Sukadeva Goswami begins to tell how the Lord is transcendental. He is untouched by the modes of material nature. When we are conditioned by the three modes of material nature, we see all these dualities, but the Lord is transcendental. He is nirguna. He is transcendental to these modes. So these modes do not affect him. And so, whether he may offer prayers or die, everything is same for the Lord. So then in that regard, he tells that, you know, even if somebody thinks, then there is a question asked by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Narada. It is very astonishing that this Shishupala and Dattavakra, right from their birth, even from the time they began to even speak, they were continuously blaspheming the Lord. How come we take it to Sahitya Mukti, which is impossible to attain, even to the great transcendentalists who are meditating for a very, very long time? How is it that the Lord, such a mercy they got? My intelligence is disturbed just like a candle in a windy place, how it wavers, like that my intelligence is disturbed. Please tell me, how did they get this causeless mercy of the Lord? Even right, they were the two sinful sons of the Dhammaghosha, right? And how come their tongues, right from the time they could speak, they went on blaspheming the Lord? How come their tongue was not attacked by the leprosy, you know? Because right from the beginning they were blaspheming the Lord. How come they got such a exalted mukti, even the great transcendental meditating for a very, very long time, they did not attain it? So now the question was asked whether the Lord is partial or impartial. That is the subject of great doubt for me. Please clarify me. So the Lord is so merciful. Like then he says that there are five ways, if you think of the Lord, still you get the mercy of the Lord. What is that? If one somebody thinks of the Lord, whether favorably or unfavorably, actually the definition of bhakti is anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti vittama. That is the definition of bhakti. One has to think of Krishna in a favorable way, but not in an unfavorable way. But still Krishna is so merciful, even to Putana. She came to kill Krishna actually. But see, the Lord took the essence of her purpose of coming to feed the milk. So he ahobakyam sthanakala kutam jigam shayaya. So it is said that even though she came to feed Krishna milk in the form of poison, but still Krishna gave her liberation. So how can we say that Krishna is partial? Even like actually Kamsa was very, very Krishna conscious. He was 24/7 Krishna conscious. But in an unfavorable way. But still he got the mercy of the Lord because he thought of Krishna. That itself is purifying. And then gopis, they thought of Krishna. So Kamsa thought of Krishna in fear. Fear, bhaya. But still, because he constantly thought of Krishna, in a higher sense, Krishna is seeing, even though Kamsa was thinking in an unfavorable way how to kill him, but Krishna thought that his thinking of Krishna himself 24/7 is itself so purifying that Krishna is taking that essence of thinking of him. And also the gopis, they thought of Krishna in a lusty way, and the envy, Shishupal and Dattavakra, they were so envious of Krishna. Just now I told, right from the time they could even speak, they went on blaspheming the Lord. But still the Lord, of course the Shishupal and Dattavakra, they are special, they were actually devotees, they were cursed to come into the material world and we take the demoniac life. But however, the Shishupal, right from the time they could even begin to speak, they were blaspheming the Lord, but the Lord gave special mercy that they got Sahaja Mukti. So then gopis thought of Krishna in a lusty way. Of course, that lust of gopis and the lust of the material world is compared to gold and iron. The lust of the gopis was very, very pure, but the lust of material world is very contaminated. So even if you think of Krishna in any of these ways, still we get they got liberation. Like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the Yadavas, they all thought in familial relationship, and all the general devotees, they thought of Krishna in a pure devotional service like that. So even if you think of Krishna in any of these five ways, whether favorably or unfavorably, thinking of Krishna himself is so purifying that they get mukti. But in the case of King Vena, this is mentioned in the 7th canto, 1st chapter, King Vena didn't think of Krishna in any of these ways. He was completely atheistic. He didn't even think of Krishna in unfavorable way also. He was so atheistic. So the example of King Vena, so consequently he was sent to hell. So that's what Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narakmuni. King Vena, he was so atheistic and he didn't think of Krishna in him, and he was consequently sent to hell. How come the Shishupala and Dattamakra, they also should have been sent to hell? How did they get so this exalted mukti as Sahitya mukti? So this is like very disturbing my intelligence actually. Please clarify this down. So the Lord is so merciful, even though somebody think of Krishna favorably or unfavorably, still he gives his mercy. So King Vena was so atheistic, he did not think of Krishna in any of these five ways. So now coming to this chapter, King Anga, he got the son, this Vena, the purpose. So Chanakya Pandit says that Putra Hinam Griham Shunyam. A purpose of marriage is to get a son. Because why son is very important? Why one should have a son? Because he will deliver his fathers and forefathers and also the citizens. So that is why it's very important to have a son. So, Putra Hinam Griham Shunyam. Because they will, the son can deliver the father and forefathers. Even in the first canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna gives five reasons desiring not to fight. One of them is destruction of dynasty. Why? Because he thinks that all the elderly people, if they die, and remaining people, they become irreligious and they don't perform the pindadana kriya, they don't do that periodical offering of food and water to the forefathers, then they will not even get the gross body. Like, you know, they will be hovering as a ghost in the subtle bodies, and they go and, like, you know, haunt people like that. So that is why it is very important that the son perform periodical offer food. First they do the sacrifice, offer food and water, offer all the bhoga to the Lord Vishnu, and then when it becomes prasadam, they offer to the forefathers, fathers and forefathers, so that whatever sinful reactions they have, that long get go and then they will get elevated. So that is the purpose of having a son. Why one should have a son? Because he will deliver the father and forefathers. So if somebody has a fallen son, then how can he deliver the forefathers? That is the, of course, King Vena is going to tell all those things now. So in the family life, a man is supposed to live happily with father, mother, wife and children. So in a family life, a man has to live very happily with his father, mother, wife and children. But sometimes what happens, a father, so sometimes these father, mother, wife, children, husband, they can turn as enemies also. So a father is an enemy when he has too much debt. Like sometimes the father, they take debt, and then when they die, so all the debt is there and the son has to pay off all the debt. So such a father can be an enemy. A father is an enemy when he is in too much debt. A mother is an enemy if she marries for a second time. The mother first marriage and then second time she marries, she can be an enemy. A wife is an enemy if she is very beautiful. A wife can be also an enemy if she is very beautiful. And a son is an enemy when he is a foolish rascal. In this way, when a family members become an enemy, it is very difficult to live in a family life. That is why to remain in a family life or remain as a householder. Therefore, in Vedic culture, it is recommended that after 50 years, one leave the family, grahastha ashram, and then accept vanaprastha. Therefore, in Vedic culture, one has to take leave of his family members after 50 years, so that the balance of his life may be very completely devoted to the Supreme Person in search of the Krishna consciousness, to develop spiritual consciousness. Of course, it doesn't mean that after 50 years only one has to develop. It is very unlikely that after 50 years, because it's too much time has passed. That is why Prahlad Maharaj says that Kaumara Achare Pragno Dharman Bhagavataniha Durlabham Manusham Janma Tadapya Dhruvam Vartadam Manusham. Take up to devotional service in the tender age of childhood, not at the ripe old age. Because whatever consciousness we have developed, all of a sudden we cannot elevate our consciousness. That is why it's very important to gradually from the childhood develop that sense, so that there is every chance of becoming get success at the end of one's life. Otherwise, what happens if somebody thinks that, oh, let me keep on earning money now and later I will do, like, you know, take up devotional service. So all the time they have been so much attached to money, earning money and all that, then that consciousness is so much polluted in the beginning, and later on to give up all that is not easy at all. So that is why, because, you know, to clear the consciousness and then come to that level, there is not so much time left. That is why one has to practice devotion. That is why this Varnasrama Dharma is very, very good. Brahmacharya, first 25 years, learn under the guidance of the spiritual master, serve the spiritual master, learn the scriptures and serve, and like all this. Then after 25 years, if they want to marry, they can marry. By that time, complete training and education is given in the early age, so that when they take up householder life, they are not still very, like, you know, materialistic, because they have been trained. Early training is very, very essential, so that their conscious, they can have still the good consciousness and pure consciousness like that. Then later on, after 50 years, they can marry. Of course, grahastha ashram they can do, not like grahamedi, so that the children and family, everybody will be very Krishna conscious. Then after 50 years one has to leave. So like that, that is why it is very important that because sometimes if the father, mother, husband, wife, children, if they are not favorable, then they can be an enemy, and we cannot hold on to that unfavorable situation for a very long time. So that is why King Anga, he renounced, because he had this, he tried his best to reform his son by punishment and all that, but still he could not bring him to that gentleness. So that is why he thought, better I renounce. So one fine day when Sunita, his wife, queen, was sleeping, he left the palace and he went away. So this is, so what, how it all happened was, this questions that was asked by Vidura to Maitreya, what happened? First of all, King Anga did not have children. He did not have a son. So because of that, they had to perform Ashwamedha. All the sages and priests, they performed Ashwamedha yajna, so that to get a son. So by performing that, what happened? When they performed all the sacrifice, everything, the demigods, neither they took part in the sacrifice, nor they took the oblations, their shape, they did not even appear there. So that is why the sages and all the priests and all, they called the king Anga and they told that nobody is coming to, the demigods have not appeared at all to take this offerings. So what to do like that? Then the king said that, did I do some offense? Then the king asked, maybe I have committed some offense, that is why this is happening. Then the sages said that, no, you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you invite the Lord. So when he comes and then pray to him that you want a son, then the Lord will come, and then along with the Lord, all the demigods, they will also follow. So that way everything will go, will happen. Then we'll say that maybe we cannot think that you have done any sinful activity even in your mind. So everything that was the paraphernalia for the sacrifice and the priest, everything is perfect. Just that like you have to invite the Supreme Lord. So that along with the demigods will come, then all everything will work. Then the sacrifice, they worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and along with them the demigods also came. And then by all this, the king, a person appeared from this fire sacrifice, brought the pot of sweet rice. Like then that was King Anga gave this to Sunita, his queen. And after eating that, she got a son, Vena. And he was represented by Adharma, irreligious, because his grandfather, who was Sunita's father, was irreligious personified. So because he was irreligious personified, his son, his daughter, who was Sunita, she got the qualities of the father, and the son, Vena, got the qualities of the mother. That's how King Vena became so cruel and very, very merciless. And right from the childhood, he showed all these inauspicious qualities. He went on like killing, he went to the hunting and he killed the deer and very mercilessly killing. And when he used to play with the small children, he immediately started, he would kill the children and very mercilessly, and he would slaughter like an animal. Like that he showed very irreligious qualities and very mercilessly killing. By seeing all this, the king was very much unhappy, and he tried to bring him to the path of gentleness, but he was totally unsuccessful. Then he thought that better, like in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that glorious are the people who do not get the sun, you know. Maybe they would have worshipped the Lord so that they would not have got the son who would be of bad character. And then he says that a bad son can remove, by his sinful activities, can completely disrupt the name and fame of the entire family like that. Then he says that who would desire to get such a son? And then he tells that it's better to, then he thinks himself that it's better to have a bad son than good son. Why is that? Because if you have a very good son, you will get very much attached. So that attachment, then you cannot detach yourself. Then in that section of Bhagavatam is saying about attachment and detachment, you know. So if you have a good son, what will happen? You get very attached. Then you know you cannot be, you cannot detach yourself. So getting a bad son is in a way good, because one can detach easily. So that's what happened King Anga. When he saw that his son was, he could not be corrected in any way and brought to the path of gentleness, he thought, it's better for me to now. He became very indifferent. Sometimes in Krishna consciousness, in very elevated consciousness, it doesn't mean that we have to be not dutiful. We have to do our duties. But when things like just now I said that in the family life, if the wife, father, mother, wife, husband, wife, children, if they are not very favorable and can be our enemy, then in that time what will happen? Sometimes we become detached and we become indifferent to that. That's what happened to King Anga. Then all of a sudden in the night everybody was sleeping and he could not sleep thinking these things, and Sunita was sleeping, everybody was sleeping. He got up in the midnight and he walked away. Similar thing happened even when in the first canto, 13th chapter, Vidura, when he came to wake up the Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra, after doing so much injustice to the sons of Pandu, and he did so much injustice, they killed like all the six aggressions they did, like taking their wealth, everything, they're taking their land and kidnapping their wife and giving poison, doing all these atrocious things. And afterwards, after all his sons were dead, this Dhritarashtra is coming and making himself very, very comfortable in the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Vidura was himself, like in the same third canto, very first, in the beginning, first chapter, it is also said that Vidura also said to Dhritarashtra, how come you are maintaining this? something offensive personified, your son Duryodhana. He is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are maintaining such a son. You should immediately get rid of him and do good to people. As long as, because Dhritarashtra was already blind and he was more blinded because he took the side of this irreligious sons of his, and he very nicely, he thinking that they were his own sons. So here it is said that you are maintaining offense personified Duryodhana as your infallible son, but he is envious of Lord Krishna, and because you are maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. So like it is said also, Chanakya Pandit says that Chanakya Pandit says that ko artha putrena jatena yona vidvan nara na dharmikaha kalena chakshusa kimva chakshusa pidaiva kevalam. So it is said that what is the value of having a son who is neither dharmika, means neither religious nor learned person. He is just like a blind eye. Having a blind eye, it is only more painful, right? Having a blind eye. So like that is comparing here that the, having a blind eye is like more painful than, so you immediately get rid of this Duryodhana. As long as you maintain him, you will be completely inauspicious. And at the very end, what happened? He's sitting very, making himself very, very comfortable in the palace of Yudhisthira Maharaj and eating the food given by Bhima. You are like a dog. You are, aren't you ashamed? Don't you feel shame? Sitting, you did all so much injustice to them. And today you are making yourself comfortable at the ripe old age. Don't you feel shame? And you are eating this remnants of your food given by Bhima. Come on, get up. Immediately, night, everybody was sleeping, you know, Sanjaya, everybody. So immediately, get up from here. You are being like a household dog. Don't you feel shame? Get up. So then, actually, Vidura, he leaves the palace after Duryodhana. He tells Duryodhana, you have to get rid of this sinful son, Duryodhana. Till then, you cannot do good to people. So after Duryodhana hears these things, he talks very, very blasphemously to Vidura. He says that you are the son of a maid servant. They are maintaining you, and you are talking like this. Come on, you get out of the house, our palace, like that, you know. Then he insults very badly to Vidura, and Vidura leaves the bow at the doorstep and he leaves. For 30 years, he goes and meets Maitreya to all the holy places, and he goes and worships the Lord in all the various places. Not only while going to all the holy places, he hears from Maitreya Muni. That is the conversation we are hearing. So this is what one should be doing in the Vanaprastha age. Everyone has to leave, go to all the holy places and hear from the saintly people. And after all the 30 years of traveling, why did he again come to the palace? That was the question. After leaving the comfort of the palace life, Vidura, after traveling to all the holy places after 30 years, why did he again come back to the palace? Did he again want to get entangled and want to be more materialistic? No. And when he comes, Dhritara, Yudhisthira Maharaj and all the palace, they very nicely welcome him. They say that Bhavad-Vida Bhagavata, he says that, oh saintly Vidura, you have come back. You are like a holy place personified because you carry the Lord within your heart and you convert all the places to a holy place of pilgrimage. So they very nicely welcome in the entire palace. They are very, very happy that Vidura has come back, and they give him a good seat and offer him nice food, prasadam and all. And after that, comfortably seated, then you know then they will ask questions. So then again he came back to the palace. Why? Because he wanted to wake up. 13th chapter, the first canto, Dhritarashtra quit home. That chapter he says that after leaving, why did he again come back? Because he wanted to deliver Dhritarashtra. He is sitting very comfortably. Even though he was so sinful and he was took the side of his sinful sons, but still he had affection for his brother, blind brother. He wanted to deliver him. He said that, come on, get up. Get up. Then everybody was sleeping. Quietly, God. Then Gandhari said, where are you going, leaving me? Then she also followed. Of course, then he did mystic yoga, and then finally Dhritarashtra also got very good. Of course, the Gandhari also did sati. She also. So like that, in the night, midnight, and in the morning, Yudhishthira Maharaj gets up, and this is a good Vedic etiquette and culture. He got up to offer obeisances to all the elderly people. This is the Vedic culture. Once they get up, first they take blessings and offer obeisance to the elders. When he saw in the palace, there is no Dhritarashtra, no Gandhari, no Vidura. Where did they go? Then they asked Sanjaya. Then he said, how will he be maintained? He's blind. You know, some animals went to the forest. How can he? He thought that he is maintaining. Then of course again Narada Muni comes and enlightens him. He says that, no, actually you are not the maintainer. So like that, very interesting. So then he says that, come on, get us. So in the Anga also in the night, Sunita was fast asleep, he left and went. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, the last few verses, there's a Varnasrama very nicely described what are Grahastha Ashram, Vanaprastha and all that. In that section it is said that a husband, if he gives up attachment to the body of the wife, then he can conquer the unconquerable. Jito ajitopi. Jito means one can conquer ajitopi. Conquer the unconquerable, who is the supreme lord. So that is why for the husband, the wife's body is very, very dear, which is going to become stool and eaten by worms and ants, like, you know. If a person can detach from the wife and her body, then he can conquer the unconquerable. Jito ajitopi. So that is what King Anga, what did he do? Because Sunita was not a very good wife, because she got the qualities of her father, who was irreligious, personified, and because that she got a son, Vena. So the king became so detached and indifferent that night, when everybody was sleeping, he left the palace and went away. And in the morning when they woke up, they saw there is no king at all, Anga. And everywhere they started to search, where did King Anga go, where did he go, where did he go? Couldn't find anywhere. Then finally the sages, you know, then the rogues and all these decoys, rogues, everybody, they flourished like it. Because when the king is very, very powerful, they are like rats. We read in this previous verses. They are like rats, you know, it was already known that Vena was very severe and cruel. Therefore, as soon as all the thieves and rogues in the state heard his ascendance to the royal throne, they became very much afraid of him. Indeed, they hid themselves here and there as rats hide themselves from snakes. But now there is no king. King is not there. This is sages that all these thieves, rogues and then they all flourished. And then it was a very chaotic situation. Then the great sages, like I told earlier, that they are very, very worried about the general populace, the welfare of the people, how to uplift. There is no king. Everything becomes very chaotic. Then they went and met the queen. And then they had a meeting and they told queen that we want to install your son as the king. Then the queen agreed. Of course the ministers, they did not like that idea at all, because already they know that King Vena is very cruel and very not good. Not of good character at all. But still the sages, they thought that better to have some king, you know, otherwise everything is going to be more not good. Nobody is there. Then they installed King Vena, and after he was installed, it became even more bad. the citizens suffered very, very much, because it says a comparison given as the chapter progresses. Just on a stick, on both sides there is fire. In the middle, the ants. What will happen to the ants? So one side, what is happening? The irreligious, very cruel, atrocious thing. And on the other side, the thieves and rogues, and they are flourishing. So the ants, for a stick, on both sides there is fire. The ants are there. What will happen to them? How dangerous they are. So like that, on one side there is rogues, thieves, and all these things. And on the other side, this religious king and all the citizens, they are very much suffering. Then knowing all this, the great sages, they went to, they did not first give Brahma Shapa to King Vena. They first, like, you know, they first counseled him, they told him, please don't do this, you know, don't do this religious things. You know, you are stopping all the yajnas, Brahmanical culture, everything. You should not do this, you know. They tried to tell good thing, but King Vena did not tell good advice. And finally, they churned, because they wanted a king. By Brahma Shapa, they did not have to kill, you know. Just by the uttering, because the Brahmanas, they were so pure, the great sages, they were so pure, just by uttering, the Brahma Shapa was given, and of course, King Vena died, and then they took his right hand, they churned, they used it as a churning rod. From there came King Prithu, who was the emperor of the real king, the emperor of the entire world, and who ruled very well, very nicely. So that is why it is said that Brahmana Kshatriya, these days, like in the purport today, it is said that what was committed by King Vena many years ago is at present being carried out by atheistic governments all over the world. That time there was one King Vena, but today there are so many King Venas. That time there was one Hiranyakashipu, today so many. So what was committed by King Vena many years ago is at present being carried out by atheistic governments all over the world. So King Vena did not think of the Lord in any of the ways, so he was consequently sent to hell. So here also, what was committed by King Vena many years ago is at present being carried out by atheistic governments all over the world. The world situation is so tense that at any moment governments may issue declarations to stop religious rituals. So how this King Vena, and also Hiranyakashipu also, when his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Vishnu, he became so outrageous, angry, and his teeth, biting his teeth, trembling, you know, he told his assistants to go and destroy everywhere where there is flourishing, Brahmanical culture is flourishing, cows are being protected, go and destroy all these places. So like this, the demoniac people, they can do so much disturbance to people who are constantly meditating on the Lord and doing, following the Krishna conscious path. Everything, they can turn everything to very... So that is why it is said that we never know, like as the Kaliva progresses, the mother, she is giving birth to a child, she is taking care of the child so nicely, like from the time to time she is feeding, looking after, putting child to sleep, taking so much care of the child. But as the Kaliva progresses, what happens is there is no food to eat. Then, you know, the mother who will have a child, she will kill that child and eat that child. Those days are there further as the Kaliga progresses. There is no food and to eat, then the people are hungry, and the mother who gives birth to the child, the same child will be killed and eaten. So those days are there, like already like abortion, so many things are already happening. But the Kaliga, then what happens, the Krishna consciousness movement will be there only for another 10,000 years, and we don't want to see these things happen. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also very nicely described how Kaliyuga, as it progresses, how things will go so degraded that all the religions, even King Vena also, when they gave the religious things, he thought religion to be irreligion and he thought irreligion to be religion. So like in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasa vita. So like that somebody thinks religion to be religion, religion to be religion. So that's what happens at the by the end of Kali Yuga. All the even in the very first purport of this chapter, it is said that actually the Kshatriyas are the administrative, they have to become rule the kingdom, and the Brahmanas, they have to advise the king. Like the Brahmanas are considered the head to part, and Kshatriyas like arms. The Brahmanas, they have to advise the king how to rule, because they are like the head part, they have to give the advice, and the king has to rule so that the citizens are very nicely given guidance and they go back to Godhead. But now what is happening? The Shudras are taking the administrative roles, and the Varnasrama is becoming topsy-turvy. Everything is becoming topsy-turvy, and everything is becoming so here it is said that such persons, in modern democracy, these scientific divisions are termed topsy-turvy, and by vote Shudras or workers are chosen for administrative posts, having no knowledge of the ultimate goal of life. Such persons whimsically enact laws without knowledge of life's purpose. So the result is that no one is happy. So as the Kali Yuga progresses, so Krishna consciousness movement will be there for only another 10,000 years. We have to be very, very serious to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, we are going to see not very good things. And then at the very end, of course, Krishna cannot see. Then he comes in the form of Kalki avatar, and then he is born in the place called Sambhala district, in the Brahmana's house called Vishnuyasa. And he goes at when he is 16 years, wears white dress and mounts on the horse, and he goes and kills all the irreligious thing, and then Satyuga begins. So that's how the Kali Yuga finishes. So now everything is becoming. So King Anga, he renounced everything, because even Prahlad Maharaj says that Tatsadhani Suravarya Dehinam Sada Samudvignadiyam Masatgrahat Hitvatma Patam Grahamandakupam Vanam Gato Yadhari Masreta Tatsadhani Suravarya Dehinam Sada Samudvignadiyam Asatgrahat. So what is he telling? Grahastha life is like Andakupa. Andakupa, like dark well. But if one wants to get out of it, one has to go to Vana, forest. Which Vana? Ideally Vrindavana. And there what one should do? Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. Otherwise, we will miss out the real goal of life. So Anga, he renounced, seeing this very unfavorable, the sun being like an enemy, was not favorable thing at all. He renounced and he went to whatever Prahlada said. Tatsavamani, he went to forest, and then forest is considered to be mode of goodness. So he went and dedicated his life there, knowing that. So this is the, one should not live in the household life in the fag end of life, and one has to practice devotional service like Prahlada Maharaj said, Kaumara Acharitkarma. So from the beginning, if you develop that consciousness, there will be every chance of getting perfect. Otherwise, what happens? We are like, sometimes people, they think that, later part I'll definitely dedicate myself to devotional service. Now is the time to earn money. Let me do enough money so that later part I can spend that time for Krishna consciousness. That's not going to definitely happen. Of course, better than nothing. Some people, they don't do anything. But because to attain perfection in life, practice makes man perfect. To perform a good dance performance or a good singing performance, we have to practice so much so that we can do one perfect performance. It cannot happen overnight. Of course, the King Katwanga example is given, he perfected his life in the moment. Why? Because he knew what was the prime duty of his life. Although he was king, he was very Krishna conscious, he knew what was the prime duty of his life, even though he, like, you know, he didn't, but when he, actually they told him, come to heavenly planets to fight with the demons, like, you know, he was invited there to fight with the demons, but after fighting, then the demigods, they called the Katvanga to fight the demons. Then after that, they wanted to benedict him. Then they asked, what do you want to ask? He asked, please tell me how much time do I have still in my life? Then they said that only one moment. He immediately came to earth and took shelter of the temple of Lord Vishnu, and, you know, because even though we are doing all our duties, we have to never deviate from what is our prime duty of our life, you know. That should not, like when we are driving the car, even though we may be thinking some things, but still we are not losing the track of that steering, right? Like that, our Krishna consciousness should be, like, you know, focused. Even though we are doing so many things, so we should never forget our what is the prime duty of our life. That should always be there in our consciousness. Even though, like, even Priyavrata also, he wanted to perfect his life, you know. Then he was told by his father, Swayambhuvamanu, please become a king, you know. Then you have to generate a good population. You know? Then he could have rejected, he could have, like, the four Kumaras was also told. They said, no, we don't want to get entangled. But Priyavrata, he wanted to, follow the orders of his father. But still, you know, then, but Priyavrata also knew what was the prime duty of his life. So he knew that. So even though we do so many activities, the king, so many Raja Rishis, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, everybody, all these great kings, even though then even Swayambhuvamanu, he was the, like, you know, he did, like, you know, and in the morning and in the night, every other Shahanai or Krishna Bhajan and Krishna Katha, even today, every night Krishna Katha was going on. Even today in India, we go to small villages, in the night, there is no electricity also. In one way it is good, no electricity. Because there will be pandals, and everybody will go, there will be some candlelight or something, and there will be Krishna Katha going on. Before they go to sleep, Krishna Katha hearing, immersing themselves in Krishna Katha. Chanting the glories of the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam they will do, no? So that is the way to perfect life, otherwise it's going to be like the essence of everything is that the last moment we have to remember the Lord. That Yamyam of Iswaran Bhavam Chijanjitte Kalyanam Sampanini Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwara Hari Kutamya Kirti Rachi Smartha Vesne Tatabha. Last moment one has to think about the Ante Narayana Smriti. To do that Ante Narayana Smriti, we have to practice entire life. It doesn't just suddenly happen. Even though we do so many duties, we should never deviate from the prime duty of our life. That should always be there at the background of our consciousness. So that way, Krishna, if we still, even though we do entire life, there is no guarantee that we think of Krishna at the last moment. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattaha smritir jnanam apohanamscha Vedaischa sarve rahameva vedya Vedantakrut Vedavideva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I have to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Krishna says that he is the one who gives us remembrance. Even though entire life we may do, we cannot be very proud. Oh, I did entire my life thought of Krishna, I can definitely think of Krishna. No. Without Krishna's mercy, that is not possible. If Krishna's mercy is there, he will give us that remembrance at that last moment. Otherwise, it is not possible. So that is why the practice of our life is very, very important. Only then it is possible that we attract his mercy at that last moment. Life is a preparation, death is an examination. Entire life is a preparation and death is an examination. How much, like, just to go to some trip, how much we organize, right? How much more we have to organize for that last journey of our life? If we have to go somewhere, we organize so much, we purchase, we have to pack this, we have to do that. How much more we have to be serious about preparing for that real exam of our life, that last moment? Radhanath Maharaj says that live in such a way that this is your last moment. Last moment, like, you know. So, thank you all very, very much for attentively hearing. Any questions or comments, if I can answer?
Thank you for such a well researched class. I was going to talk and say in your report that there are so many values in the world today that our only purpose is to transform our lives so that we can be Krishna. My question is how much when we transform our lives, how much will that transform the world situation?
Our life, how we can transform the world situation.
How much you feel like the duty is to, like the pilot, we have to look after ourselves. We have to fly our own plane and look after ourselves. So we need to become Krishna conscious. But as we transform our lives, will that have any effect on the world?
Definitely. Like Prabhupada was so pure devotee, right? So, because of his purity is the force. Because Prabhupada could have lived in Vrindavan at the ripe old age and he could have completely, he said that my home is Vrindavan, my office is Mayapur. So he could have happily lived in Vrindavan, but he went to West because he wanted to give this Krishna consciousness to the Western world. So, because he was so pure, then he wrote this poem also. How can I transform people who are so much? How can I transform? Because without your Shakti, I cannot do this. It's not possible. So, purity is the force. When we are pure, like because Prabhupada was so pure, he could convert, like in India also some people, they ask, like, you know, usually when we go to great people, they ask, what is a miracle that you have done? They ask Prabhupada, can you show us, like when they go to Sai Baba, what miracle you can do, like you know, bringing gold or ashes like that. So what miracle can you show, any miracle that you can do? Then Prabhupada said that, I don't know any such miracle, but all the miracle that I can show that by the... This thing, like he showed all the Maharaj, they were standing there. Once upon a time, they were like addicted to all the sinful activities of abominable activities. But today they have given up everything and become 100% Krishna conscious. So that's all I could do. Like, you know, the purity is the force. When we are pure, like then we can transform the world. Of course, like in the city, we are doing Harinam and all that. Give opportunity for people to hear Krishna's holy name. That is very good way of, like, of course, chanting the holy name. Even like in front of McDonald's also, we were doing Harinam very loudly so that people, at least they can get opportunity to hear Krishna's holy name. So, purity is the force, I think. Yes. I don't know if I answered your question. But
yeah, it's so Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya, is especially merciful.
Yes.
Why do the woman, the mother, is considered any missionary spouse?
So if she marries twice?
Yeah, why she is considered any? Why is that any?
Because according to Vedic culture, women has to marry only once. Man can marry two times. But women can marry only once. So that is the Vedic culture. Of course, nowadays it's not so much happening due to some reasons. But women is allowed to marry only once. And whatever the husband does, all the devotional, she gets share of. And she has to serve the husband. Of course, again, Prabhupada says that one should servant, devoted husband, of course. But in the Vedic culture in general, the women are very submissive, they take very humble role and they serve the husband. So that is the Vedic culture, and even if for some reason, actually now only we are seeing all these things happening, but otherwise in Vedic culture, the wife is very, very obedient and very, very chaste, very submissive, and she looks husband, she looks after the husband like the her lord only like that. So that is the Vedic culture. So women are not allowed to marry again. Man, they are allowed, but women not allowed. So that is why if woman marries again, she is considered enemy. And also it is said that if a woman is, the wife is very beautiful, she is also considered like an enemy, in the sense that the man get attached with that. Because the main purpose of at the end, one has to get detached. Like having a good son, it could be having a very beautiful wife, like they all can be like, and make man fall in illusion, you know, illusory sense gratification like that. So that's, this is us. Actually, who is saying this? Chanakya Pandit is saying. I can show you those quotes where he says these things. Rupavati, na? The woman is very beautiful also. She can be the husband, wife can be an enemy like that. And the husband, the father, if he leaves a debt, after he dies, the debt, like, you know, the children, they have to fulfill. So like that, that's also considered